This is the word of the Lord. Well, good morning. Good morning. All right. Happy Mother's Day. I say that, and you know, Mother's Day should be something very simple. It should be a day where we just honor and thank our moms. But the reality is, as a pastor having to preach on Mother's Day, is Mother's Day is a lot more complicated than that. You know, we say Happy Mother's Day, but not everybody has the classic situation here this morning where they are surrounded by their children on Mother's Day, and they got breakfast in bed and flowers and cards, and they're here together, one happy family. That's great for the ones of you that are that. But that's not everybody's reality here today, is it? Some of you, your kids are far away. And today just reminds you of that. Some of you, your kids forgot. And they're in big trouble when they get home. But for some of us sons and daughters, today is just a reminder that mom is already gone. For some of you moms, today is a reminder that you have already lost a child along the way. And they're not here today. For some of you, you desperately want to be a mom but have not been blessed in that way. And so today's a hard day for you. For some of you, you're single and you desperately want to have the marriage and have the kids, but you just haven't had that opportunity to meet the right person. Or for some of us, our relationships with our moms are broken and hurt by sin and very painful for us today. For some of us, maybe there's even an adoption in the scene, and today is a day where we're reminded of where our birth mother might be. You see, as a pastor preaching on this day, it is actually a very complex day to try and preach. And to add to that complexity, Pastor Rich, as he plans out the sermons and plans out the titles and plans out who's preaching, gave me the topic on Mother's Day. Liar, liar, I'm kind of a big deal. So on Mother's Day, I get to stand here and tell you how you're not very significant. Thank you, Pastor Rich. He laughed and laughed this morning. He said, I can't wait to see what you're going to say. But here's the reality. Is today we're not going to talk about that you're not significant. That's not really what this lie is all about. The challenge of this lie is what we believe makes us significant. The challenge of this lie is that we step back and we say, I am significant because of these things. And we have bought into lies about what make us significant. And today what we're going to talk about is what God actually tells us makes us significant. And so this applies to every single one of us today because there's not one of us that doesn't buy into these lies. You know, if I was to ask you right now to get out a piece of paper and write me a list of what makes you special, what makes you a big deal, what would you write down? What do you think are the things that make you significant? What are they? I mean, honestly, start processing in your head what they might be. Because that's really where we're going to go today, is are those things really what make you significant or not? You see, because this is what is happening in our text from Romans. Paul is writing to his fellow Jews in Rome, and he's telling them, look, you guys think you're very significant. You think you're very special. You understand that you're a light to the darkness, that you are morally, you have the right answers morally, and God is with you. You believe you're very special. But here's the problem with you guys. Paul says to them, he says, you think you're significant for all the wrong reasons. He says, there is no doubt you are significant. You are God's chosen people. He has revealed his truth and his love to you. You are cherished by him. But here's the problem. You think you're significant for different reasons. You think you're significant because you think you're the pinnacle of all people on earth. You think you are the most intellectual. You think you're the most informed. You think you're the most morally superior people on all of earth. That's why you think you're significant. And so Paul comes to him and he asks him four very tough questions. He says, okay, you who think you're so good, let me ask you four questions. And the first one is, you who teach others, do Do you take your own advice? That's a pretty tough question. You who teach others, do you take your own advice? You who tell people don't steal, do you steal? You who tell people don't commit adultery, do you commit adultery? And then he ends with this big claim. You who claim to have the right way, do you do it? See, they think they're significant because they know everything, and he's pointing out to them, you are falling short, and it doesn't matter if you know it, you're not living it. And you're placing your significance in the wrong thing. And so he corrects them in 28 and 29. He says, do you want to know what makes you actually significant? Do you want to know what actually makes you a Jew? It's that you believe it inside, and that you live it out inside, and that God cherishes you. Not men. That God cherishes you, not men. That's what makes you significant. And see, this is the truth in this time and in our time here today. As we are all about the presentation, are we not? When we think of ourselves, if I was to make you make that list and write it out, see, the problem is that we judge ourselves and judge others based on what we see and what we hear. And so we are all about presentation as they were in this time. We know how to say the right things. We know how to look the right way. We know how to act the right way publicly. But inside, we can be morally corrupt and lost. And our society is built all on presentation. You know, they're doing studies on it now, and it's called the Facebook effect. And they did massive studies on college students and on parents and moms. And they have these new words now of mom shaming and fat shaming and all these different things that are happening because of social media. Because what happens is you sit there on Facebook, you see all these pictures of these wonderful moments and wonderful lives all around you, and you begin to feel depressed about yourself. And see, what happens is you sit there and you look at the family down the street that has this beautiful family photo that they just put up on Facebook, and you go, wow, look at that. All the kids are smiling. All the kids are looking in the right direction. Nobody's throwing anything, pulling anybody else's hair. And see, my family's not like that. And we begin to get depressed. We don't know that that was the one picture that came out of the 99 that they took. We don't buy into the reality of it. We just try and step back and say, let me look at everybody else. Look, they have the vacation, they have the cars, and it's this presentation mindset that we get bought into the lie. Or, you know, the other popular website that's experiencing this is Pinterest. You know, and on Pinterest, what happens is you go on there and you put up, you know, these really cute little decorations that you can make or refurbish these little furniture pieces or special little meals that you can make that are all delicate and nice. And people put these up. And then all of a sudden, a new website has formed called Pinterest Fails. And what it is you put up what you were trying to make, and then you put up what actually happened. And so if you need a good laugh, go to it, because some people are awful. But it's the reality of there's this mark that I'm supposed to look like or achieve, or there's these things that I'm supposed to accomplish, and I'm falling way short, and there's this depression afterwards. And so what we do as a society is we fall into this game too, and we begin to play the presentation game too. We say, well, I can't do that or that, so let me publicly put on this front. That we have all this together. We have all this together. We have this good and this good and this good. And we play this presentation game too. And so let me ask you, if you were to write your list, what is on it? Because I bet some of these things that I'm about to list are on your list. Because we can step back and how often do we describe ourselves and put our self-worth in things that don't matter whatsoever? When we look out at society and we say, I want to be significant and special, we begin to start touting these things about ourselves. First, appearance. We say, you know what? I dress a certain way. I wear a nice suit or I wear a nice dress. And I do it so that people think I'm significant. I do it so that people think I'm special. My hair is always done perfect for some of us, our nails and our toes, not me, but some other people. And, you know, my shoes are always matching. I have to have the right outfit because that makes me feel significant. And other people will think I'm significant because of my appearance. That's what makes me special. Here's the problem with appearance. It will fade. 30 years from now, your kids, your grandkids, your nieces or your nephews, or just you, are going to look at pictures of you right now and go, what was I wearing? That was really ridiculous. I am so silly that I put so much stock in my appearance when I see myself now and know how insignificant that really was. And for some of us, you know, just the realities of life, despite how hard you try, you will develop wrinkles. It's going to happen. You will get gray hair, some of us a lot sooner than others. You will. It's going to happen. And so what happens is when we start putting our self-worth or saying we're a big deal in things that fall short, things of men, we only have two options at that point, arrogance or despair. Either we're going to become very arrogant because we have the appearance, look at us, we're so good, or we're going to have despair because we can't have the appearance that we think we need. But it goes deeper in this. We can look at a pedigree. How many people do you know that just tout their pedigree? I'm the son of. Well, good for you. What have you done in your life? And that's the problem with it, is if you're going to tout yourself, if you're going to get your self-worth on your pedigree, somebody else always has a better pedigree. Somebody else always does. And the problem is you're going to spend so much time in your life trying to tell people how great your name is that you're not going to make a good name for yourself. And so we can go to arrogance or despair. And we can do this with wealth. We can build up all this wealth, and we can say that this wealth is going to make me significant. It's what's important about me. It's why I'm significant. But what's the truth about wealth? It goes. It fades. And there is always somebody that has more. And so we can go from arrogance to despair very quickly. We can look at accomplishments. You know, you can step back and say, look, I have an entire wall filled with diplomas and awards that I've won, but here's the problem with that. You can take all the arrogance and pride you want in it, but next year somebody else is going to win that award. And somebody else got that diploma too. And one day you're going to run into people that have even more than you have. And at that point, what do? This thing that you've built up, this haughty thing that you've taken arrogance in, that you've said, this is who I am, this is what I'm about, and all of a sudden all those awards and accomplishments mean nothing, then you fall into despair. Or let's bring it home to moms this week. We can take a lot of pride in our kids, can we not? We can sit there and we can say, you know what, look at me as a parent. My kids get good grades. My kids are good at sports. My kids accomplish all of these things, and that reflects on me. That's who I am. Look at all this. Look at my kids. I'm significant because of my kids. Here's the problem with kids. They're real knuckleheads and sinners, and they make really stupid choices. And so when you put your hope and your faith as your identity and your self-worth and your kid, woo! You are going to have a hard fall one day. You are going to have a hard fall because they're sinful. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to fall short just like every single one of us. And then what do you have? That arrogance that you had in your children now is despair. Or I love this one. This one happens a lot in the mom circles, you know, the energy of moms. You know, there's those moms out there that say, oh, you know what, this morning I woke up and I did all the yard work, and then I cleaned the entire house, spring cleaning, dusted everything, then I ran a marathon, then I picked up kids, made all the meals for the week, and then I didn't even sleep because I got so much energy, and then I did these things and these things. And so all of a sudden moms are taking arrogance and all the energy they have, and what are the other moms doing? They're sitting on a couch looking at a house that looks like an atom bomb went off. They haven't showered for the day, and nobody's fed. And they go, I'm a failure. See, we can find all these things to put our self-worth in, but in the end, they all fall short. You know, we're having a problem with our video today. We have no sound, so I'm going to show one video in a minute with no sound, and that's okay. But I was going to show another video right now to show just how ridiculous we can be about what we think makes us important. It was a video from the movie Anchorman, Will Ferrell. Some of you know where I'm going. He meets a lady, and he's trying to impress her, and he says, I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm kind of a big deal. And she says, oh, really? I've never heard of you. And he says, well, I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany. And he puts all this self-worth into it, and she just walks away. And that's how ridiculous we can be in life. Trust me, Will Ferrell does it so much better than me. I wish we had that video. But it only goes to show the point of how ridiculous we can be and what we think makes us significant. And so today what I want to do is I want to take a moment and I want to tell you the three things that actually make you significant. Every single person in this room, the three things that make you significant. And the first one is this. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. 1 John 3:1 says this. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. Friends, think about this. The God of the universe, the all-powerful God and creator who has all power and control in his hands, he doesn't look at you and say, you are my subjects. He looks at you and says, you're my son or you're my daughter. I love you. You're my kid. The God of the universe says, you're my kid. That is significant. You talk about pedigree, there's no better pedigree than that. That the God of the universe looks at you and says, you're my kid. You're my son. You're my daughter. But then he goes farther than that. The second thing that truly makes you significant is this. He loves you completely. Romans 8 says this. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God and Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from his love. It's kind of like this. Right now, in our household, our 1.5-year-old Delaney is in a very big mommy phase. And you know what I'm talking about if you've had kids. Everything Joe does, Delaney has to be attached at the leg. And should Joe leave a room, even if Daddy's there holding her, it's not okay. Because the second that Joe leaves the room, Delaney looks me right in the face and starts going, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. Mommy, Mommy. And then she even tries like different tones, like I'm not getting it. She's like, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. And I'm just like, sweetheart, it's just me and you, babe. And we gotta tough this out. You know, Mommy is in the other room. You're okay. And she is non-stop right now. Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. And oh, Lord help me when Joe actually leaves to go somewhere. Woo! But here's the thing. That's how God loves you. That's what's radical. That's how God loves you. God is up in heaven, and he is sitting there saying, I want you. I want to be with you. I want to talk to you. I want to know what's going on. I want to love you. I want to hug you. I want to see you forever. That's how God loves you. God loves you so completely, so overabundantly, so overflowing. That's how he loves you. He says, you're my child, and I love you that much. I'm obsessed with you. I'm fascinated by you. I am enthralled by you. I want to be with you in every way, every day, everything. That's how much he loves us. And even more incredible than that is the third point that makes you significant. Is we do not reciprocate that to God, do we? If you're anything like me, I know that 24/7 I am not thinking about God, about how I want to be with him, talk with him, love him, everything. That's not me. I wish it was. But the incredible thing is, even though we don't reciprocate that kind of love to him, even though we rebel against him, sin against him, fall short of him, ignore him, he still loves us that much that he said, I am going to take my perfect son and sacrifice him to rescue you, the child that have run away from me and sinned. Because there is a separation now between us. And to bridge that gap, I'm going to sacrifice my own son on the cross to rescue you. The third point that makes you significant is he sent his son for you. Romans 5:8. But God showed his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Friends, if you truly want to be able to know what makes you significant in this life, it is that you are a child of God, that he loves you completely, and he sent his son to die for you and rescue you. That is what you can never take arrogance in and never find despair in. That is what's going to give your life the true significance that it has. You are a big deal, but it's not because of what you think. It's because of what Christ has done for you. And so, for every one of us in here today, you are a big deal because of what Christ accomplished on the cross and how much the Father loves you and cherishes you. That's what makes you a big deal. But I don't want to leave today without talking to the moms for a second. Because, see, I have a young mother at my house. You know, she's got two little ones and one more on the way. And I see the struggles of a mom of sitting there saying, you know what, this is what makes me significant or this is what I fail at. And I see her struggle when I come home for the day and the house is a mess and dinner's not even started yet and everything. And she's just down and trodden. And I say, sweetheart, it's okay. But a lot of times she thinks she has to get all the checklists done in order to be significant and in order to be a big deal as a mom. But I have a video that I want to show here that shows exactly what a mom goes through on a regular basis and exactly what the struggle is. And there's no sound, I apologize. Moms, you are not, hear me out, you are not significant because you get the entire checklist done at the end of the day. That is not what makes you significant. You are significant because of this. God has entrusted His child to you to love as He loves and to raise in His truth and knowledge. That's what makes you significant as a mom. And I want to encourage you in that you don't have to get everything done. You don't have to be the perfect housewife. You don't have to be the perfect mom. That's not your calling. Your calling is to love your child and to raise them in the knowledge of the Lord. And to understand that there are some that desperately want that calling that don't get the chance. And so truly embrace and cherish that calling that you have. That's all they need is your love. And to know who their Savior is. Because I can tell you this, there have been more times in my life where I have tried to show off my children that they have disappointed me. You know, when Peyton first learned the alphabet and I stood her in front of 20 people and said, "Say the alphabet," and she just screamed and ran away. There's more moments like that in my life than there have been where I go, "Look, she's awesome." And that's kids. We can't, moms. You can't base your self-worth on your kids. You got to base your self-worth as a child of God. Your children are just there for you to love and to cherish and to raise in the Lord. And I want to encourage you in that. And I want to tell you, you're doing a good job. And thank you on behalf of all of us. And all God's people said, amen.